more powerful than I is come. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be from God, our Creator, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. A baptism is often an occasion for celebration, and the church doesn't miss the opportunity to celebrate as we commemorate the baptism of Jesus today. Baptisms are cause for celebration, but sometimes I think we struggle to say what that is. Are we just celebrating God's gift of a child? The gathering of family and friends? What if the person's an older child or an adult coming to baptism on their own? We believe God is involved somehow, but how would we describe to someone unfamiliar with the church why we are celebrating when we're at baptism? Today in Luke's Gospel, we hear it pretty simply. Jesus was baptized. It's a short story compared with much of what we hear about Jesus in the Gospels, and it's found in different forms in three of them. The authors must have thought it was pretty important, but I wonder sometimes if we do as well. It seems like a detail that maybe isn't so essential to Jesus' story. I mean, after all, it's Jesus. Wouldn't he still be the beloved Son of God if Scripture didn't record his baptism? He seemingly didn't need a baptism of repentance like the rest of the people did, and so why is it even essential? It seems like a detail that isn't important to his story, and it's certainly a detail that wouldn't much affect our lives these days. This is especially true if we don't keep the importance of baptism before us, and we just think of it as a nice family gathering or a lovely ceremony that our parents brought us to when we were young. But we don't remember it at all, or we think that maybe there are some pictures or a certificate or a candle in a box somewhere, if only we could find the time to look. The reason we read any scripture, though, is not just because of its importance to the biblical story, but so that God can speak through that text to us as we hear it again today. And so we proceed with the premise that Matthew, Mark, and Luke were all onto something in believing that Jesus' baptism had something to offer God's people who came after. So what's unique about Luke's account of Jesus' baptism? Well, the preaching of John the Baptist precedes the baptism and includes a call for repentance to prepare for baptism. We see that there is judgment implied in the words of John, but suddenly John disappears. The lines that are taken out indicate that John has been arrested by Herod, the leader in power, for speaking out against him. So John is actually removed from the scene. Luke seems to indicate that something distinctly new is happening here as Jesus is baptized. John has prepared the way, but now he is out of the picture, and now something distinctly new is happening with Jesus' baptism. Another detail is that Luke emphasizes prayer. After the people and Jesus are baptized, they turn to the gift of prayer. Luke lifts up, perhaps more than any other gospel, that prayer is an essential element of ongoing relationship with God. And maybe most importantly, though, in Luke's gospel, it is God's words that come to Jesus directly and not just to the crowds. "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The other gospels may be more concerned with revealing Jesus' identity to the people surrounding him, but here it is about the one receiving the gift of baptism. The Spirit comes to Jesus as he hears the affirmation, God's affirmation of his identity, God's intentional proclamation of love and acceptance for him. The key emphasis here is loving relationship that is emphasized by Luke. While human relationships of parents and children are imperfect and so often broken, God's relationship with the Son is one of unequivocal embrace and affirmation. And so the heart of today's story at Jesus' baptism is relationship. And that gift of relationship is at the heart of celebrating every baptism. Baptism is a covenant, a relationship based on promises, of course, initiated first by God's action. God extends to us in his waters grace and love. God names us individually as children of God who are valued and worthy of dignity and fullness of life, not because of what we do or how much we earn, not because of what we learn or our level of faith, but simply because God made us in God's image and God made us good. God acts first. But in a covenant relationship, there are promises made by both parties. Just as a couple exchanges vows, in our baptismal covenant, both we and God promise our faithfulness and participation. So living our baptism each day, then, is about committing to these promises, keeping them in mind, and allowing them to motivate and guide our lives, our purpose, and our decisions. So yes, while baptism happens once, baptism is meant as a pattern for living our entire life of faith. But we don't necessarily think about these promises, because if we were baptized when we were young, it was someone else who made them on our behalf. Maybe you've been through a confirmation ministry and made affirmation of baptism. But if your experience was anything like mine, it wasn't focused on living out our response to God's love and grace, living these promises. But it was more about knowing and learning and being tested on Luther's Small Catechism and the Bible and elements of worship, all kinds of things that as a 14-year-old didn't make much of an impression on me at all about why God was important for my life. Thankfully, our church, the Christian church, has been recovering our focus on the gifts and promises of baptism as the foundation for all that we do, the foundation for our identity as a church, and the foundation for our identity as individuals. The church has invited us to return to those promises that we made ourselves or that someone made on our behalf as we came to those waters. And so in our current articulation, there are five promises that are to guide our baptismal living. The first is to live among God's faithful people. Be a part of faith community. Come to worship. Surround yourself with people who will be supportive and not judgmental of your spiritual seeking. The second is to hear the word of God and share the Lord's Supper. Basically, engaging fully in what we do when we gather here. Focusing on the word proclaimed and preached, taking part in the meal that we share that binds us together as one. These elements of worship prepare us to fulfill the rest of our baptismal promises as we go out into the world and serve our vocations. The first of those is to proclaim the word of God in Christ through word and deed. To proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. This is about telling a story. We can't tell the story if we don't first know the story. And it's not just about telling the story, the story of God's good news, but about telling your story. How has God's presence and good news shaped and affected and guided and changed your life? Share and show in speaking and action how your story intersects with God's story. Because it's your story, especially shared in the context of trusting relationships with others, that will be a far more powerful witness to the gospel than any amount of random preaching or quoting assertion. The fourth promise is to serve all people, following the example of Jesus. Obviously, not every one of us will be able to reach every individual in need in the world, but if we follow the example of Jesus in our approach to service, we will see that this promise is about serving without distinction. Our world today fixates so much on trying to determine who is worthy and who is not. Worthy of being in this country, worthy of assistance, worthy of occupying public spaces, worthy of our time and attention, worthy of being treated with dignity and respect. Jesus wasn't concerned with measuring up those people whom he met. He wasn't concerned that they had reached a certain level of morality or purity or so-called respectability before he would speak with them, bless them, and heal them. He regularly transgressed lines and boundaries about what was proper because it was the holistic wellness of people, individual people created in God's image that truly mattered to him as he served his mission to bring God's freedom and hope to the world. And then the last baptismal promise, to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Again, this can sound daunting, because what can I, one person, really do to make a dent in the vast need for greater justice and peace throughout the world? But as I often tell the youth in confirmation, we can't know justice and peace in all the earth if we don't first foster justice and peace with the person right next to us, our neighbor, but not just those who are different from us or with whom we don't agree, but also with our friend, our sibling, our child, our parents, our spouse. I think peace comes second in this promise because justice is the key here. We seldom have peace if we don't first establish justice and actively seek to maintain it. Like the old phrase goes, no justice, no peace, N-O, and no justice, no peace, K-N-O-W. First we have justice, and then it leads to peace. But again, our world has so corrupted our understanding of what it means to have justice. We make it punitive. We make it about retribution. We might even say we make it about revenge. If someone has wronged me, I get to wrong them. People quote the Old Testament Hebrew scripture phrase about an eye for an eye as their justification, as if God requires equal pain and punishment when someone has wronged you. But God gave such laws to the people knowing our bondage to sin, knowing our hardness of heart, our impulse to get back at those who have hurt us. And so the eye for an eye stipulation was God's way of keeping in check our baser impulses, helping to ensure that God's people would not take their desire for punishment and revenge too far. No, in biblical terms, justice is far more about justice is about far more than the way we talk about it. It is about everyone being treated truly as equal, but even more than that, about everyone having enough. Everyone having the opportunity to access the abundance of God's gifts according to their needs. For example, when property taxes are the only means of funding school budgets, there will never be an equally quality education for all children. And when someone has enough to eat, they are so much less likely to covet what another has, less likely to harm their neighbor, less likely to steal their bread. Five promises of baptism. Living among God's faithful people, hearing the word and sharing in the supper, proclaiming the good news in word and deed, serving all people according to Jesus' example, and striving for justice and peace in all the world. These promises frame our lives. They provide purpose and guidance, and it's an ongoing question of how to do those things that we navigate each day. It's an ongoing process of learning and growth for all of us. St. Andrew will soon welcome a new group of people into a process focused on baptismal living. When we talk about new membership in the church these days, it is not about asking people to believe the right things or even the same things for the sake of the church as an institution. But it's about how we respond to and live into the covenant God makes with each of us in holy baptism. The process includes reflection on Scripture in relation to daily living, and it encourages asking questions. Perhaps most primary, most importantly, the question of how God, through Scripture, by the guidance of the Spirit, is calling me to live my faith each day, as a student, as a counselor, a banker, a professor, a bookkeeper, an artist, a researcher, a retiree. But the process is not just for the newcomers involved. All of us are invited to accompany this group of people in the process, some as reflection leaders, some as sponsors, and all of us as those who pledge our love and support and prayer for them, not only on special occasions in worship, but beyond that too, immersing our whole baptismal life together in the gift of prayer just as Jesus and the people did in our gospel. We are called as a community to embody God's affirmation of these individuals and their identity as children of God as they seek to live in this covenant relationship based in repentance, grace, love, and trust. In this process, we're all renewed in our baptismal identity. We're all strengthened for baptismal living. And we know that it's not just that one day long ago when the family got together at church, but that baptism is a framework and pattern for our life today and throughout our lives. Mindful of why baptism is such a gift, we are blessed to live more fully into its promises, God's promises of love and grace each day. Yes, it's easy to understand the fullness of God's embrace of Jesus, the perfect, beloved child of God who brings salvation and freedom from all that binds God's people. Yes, God's words of love and acceptance in our gospel today are an affirmation of Jesus' identity specifically. But Luke presents that baptism as a means of understanding our own. You have come to the waters. You have chosen the pattern of repentance for your life, putting all our sin and brokenness behind us, washing them away, and rising to new life in the waters of baptism through Jesus Christ. You have received God's grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you. You have made your commitment to a life lived in God's grace. And so through the story of Jesus' baptism, God proclaims to us and to you once again, you are my child. I love you, I embrace you, with you I am well pleased. It is in this assurance that we are free to live our baptism each day.